From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to The Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
And Craig. All right, everybody, it's the Brian and Vinny Show on Cinco de Mayo, my holiday. Figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. Vinny and Craig are here, and a long laundry list of topics to talk about here today, including Raw and Nitro. Hopefully Craig has come up with a contest for the end of May.
Not yet.
I figured you hadn't even thought about it. And some other stuff as well. What's up, Vinny?
Hi, Brian.
Have you thought of a contest for the end of May?
Was I supposed to?
No, Craig was.
Good.
But we have a little bit
of time.
The
answer to your question is no. I have not thought of anything for the end of May.
Well, maybe I should make you come up with a contest one of these days. I can only imagine what it would involve.
It would be very time consuming, so we have to spend more time on the contest entries and less time on me doing anything. Like,
did you get that?
I actually did. He's basically trying to skirt his other responsibilities by you giving him another responsibility.
I'm trying to get the listeners to do my work for me.
You come up with one contest is taking time away from all of your other important...
No, Brian. I want them to take up airtime. So they speak more and I speak less.
I see. Well, that's not going to happen.
See, if I...
Have you listened to the calls? Holy shit.
I actually haven't.
I am so fascinated of late. I instituted a new rule on Observer Live that you need to stay on topic. And the way...
The best thing is it's a new rule.
The way that people have attempted to circumvent this rule is maybe even more entertaining to me than when I just had unscreened open lines and people would keep talking about women's wrestling shows.
Are you taking a shot?
And who? Ryan from Cumberland? Who managed to try to claim he was staying on topic by asking a question about if I thought it was improper for the pay-per-view channels to air porn after the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight.
Hmm.
How did he tie women into the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight? Well, that's how. This is very, very creative.
I just assumed you were taking a shot at Mr. Edward Laredo.
Well, Ed's calls always suck. I mean, I don't have to take a shot. It's just a fact. And yes, Ed is out of his mind harassing me because I have not plugged the convention dinner in Vegas, which I'm going to do tonight, by the way. I tried to email him and politely tell him to just calm down because the deadline is like May 21st and we're already almost there. Sounds like a deadline is tomorrow and we've got 50 open slots. I think there's like less than 20 left in 2.5 weeks. There's no way we're not going to make it. And in fact, we're probably going to have too many people that want to be involved. But I'm going to plug that tonight. That's coming up later. Maybe when I'm in a better mood. It's not a good idea to plug it at the beginning. Ed and I, he rubs me the wrong way and then I rub him the wrong way. And there's a lot of unhealthy rubbing going on in our relationship. You know what I mean?
Get that drop.
Craig knows what I mean. Vinny probably doesn't, but that's okay.
Over my head.
Let's talk about Richie Magnet here. I hate to start off with sad news, but...
Good segue, by the way.
Richie...
It's really awful, actually.
Well, but... you know what my segue was? Richie Magnet passed away, and he was a great guy. And it's really sad. And I didn't even mean to segue like that, but the reason that I moved into that was because we were here making fun of Vinny. And some of my favorite memories of Richie were when we were all making fun of Vinny. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do.
Mm-hmm. And I like to... It's a sad topic, but what would Richie want to do if he were in the room right now? Would he want to talk about how sad everybody was, or would Richie like for us to make fun of Vinny?
Richie would love to make fun of me.
While he cackled.
Yeah, yeah.
Richie Magnet, to this day, the funniest thing I ever heard anyone say to Vinny was when Vinny was making a comeback and Richie pulled him aside later. I don't know if you asked him
and
for advice.
He told you and told you to tell me.
I see. So you had not asked him for advice.
I wasn't that smart, no.
Okay. He just comes up to me after your match and he just said, Brian, I want you to tell Vinny, whatever that was you were doing with your hand, don't ever do it again. In reference to Vinny's horrible punches.
Yeah. And I stopped. and I stopped.
And you were a better man because of it.
I was. That's true.
That's right.
Richie, for those of you not familiar, Richie wrestled in the Northwest for a long time.
Not just the Northwest. Oh, he wrestled all over.
Yeah. In Hawaii, a big name in the 80s.
He was like the Polynesian light heavyweight champion at one point or something.
When I got the news Saturday or Sunday, and just devastated because, as they say, only the good die young. And Richie was, I've said this, thankfully I said it before he passed, but Richie and Tammy Magnet, the nicest people I ever met in wrestling, period.
That's right.
Full stop. It's not even close. Mm-hmm. But I went through and was watching just old clips of Richie and Buddy and Colonel on YouTube. Thank God there's tons of those. And a bunch of his matches from the 90s are on there. And then I see, and I had no idea this happened. Craig did. Mm-hmm. But in 1985 in Hawaii, Richie Magnet versus Terry Brunk.
That's right.
Who was, of course, later to gain great fame as Sabu.
Was that really Sabu's first ever wrestling match?
Yes, I remember the story. Richie told it a few times that Richie was Sabu's very first match.
How about that?
It is, you know, it is Sabu's first match. It is green, 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 green Sabu. But it's a sight to behold regardless. But more importantly, like I say, in a business and an industry and an art form that is full of, you know, egomaniacs, scammers, bullies, psychopaths, somehow there's Richie Magnet and his wife Tammy, who was just as loving and caring as he was. And we would all anytime we were fortunate enough to get a show anywhere in the Portland area, we would always meet there. Tammy'd have a big meal out for us. She'd make fun of us too.
Oh yeah.
If we got there in time, we get to use their tanning bed.
And I forgot about that.
Yeah, their own tanning bed. And we all go to the show together. And Richie, you know, there's a totem pole in wrestling. And I was on the bottom end of that totem pole. And I was well aware of that. And I was.
You were the part that was underground.
It was the foundation of the totem pole.
Yeah.
And Richie was one of the few people who you know, he didn't. He didn't make me feel bad for being that part, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So he treated me like anyone else on the card. And also, I broke in. My first matches with a guy named Big Sed. I don't know if you ever worked with him, and he did not last long. But those are my first matches in front of a crowd. I wrestled him probably a dozen times. And finally, I stopped wrestling him, and he started wrestling other people. And after those other people wrestled him, they would all come up to me and say, how did you get through that? And they'd say, I've never been hit that hard in a fight. So I go from wrestling Big Sed to Richie. And I swear to God, literally, I remember the moment. I was not aware that you could be in a pro wrestling match and have your opponent punch you and it wouldn't hurt.
That's right.
I did not know this was a thing. I thought it was not a shoot, obviously, but I thought it was dangerous. A lot more dangerous than it actually is.
And you kept doing it. That's what's amazing.
It is. Once upon a time, everyone, I actually did love this business. But, yeah, Richie was great. He took great care of me. He liked to make fun of me, but he never looked down on me.
And that sounds like all of us as well.
No, it doesn't. But I'm very thankful for all the time he took and all the time I got to spend with him. Great guy. And I'm going to miss him.
His wife, Tammy, passed away a couple of years earlier, and Tammy and Richie could not have been more different. Richie was very quiet, and he never said a whole lot. You know, he would talk to you, but he was just generally like a quiet sort of person. Not Tammy. Tammy was as boisterous and as talkative, and I would go to shows, and Tammy would sit in the audience to watch, and I would have preferred to be in the audience with Tammy.
Oh, yeah.
Than in the ring. Like, we would sit there and we would watch. Like, sometimes I would actually just go out there and I would sit with her for the first few matches. And we would have so much fun watching the matches and laughing our asses off because Tammy understood the business. And so she would bury guys and she would howl at things and she would make fun of things. And I had so much fun watching wrestling with Tammy Magnet. And she could cook. You know, you can cook when you got a bunch of wrestlers coming over and you decide just to make spaghetti because spaghetti feeds a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking great spaghetti. You know what I mean? Spaghetti's as simple as it comes. It's noodles and red sauce. But this spaghetti that she made was so good. And then the garlic bread, man, she could cook. And we would go down there and she would cook these great meals for us. And then we'd have to go work. Which, of course,
is the flaw in the plan.
That's kind of the flaw in the plan. But we would stay the night there. And it was just, it was great. And I wrestled Richie when PNPW, when they had that down in Oregon. And we would go down and I think it was one of those deals where, like, around here, how can I say this in a, I'm out. A lot of the guys sucked. You know what I mean?
Sure do.
And then there was Richie and Buddy and guys like that. And so our goal was always, how can we create a storyline where we only wrestle each other forever? You know what I mean? So we'd wrestle each other for a feud, and then somebody would turn, and then someone else would turn. So, like, now the roles were reversed, and you just start the feud over again. And then you'd add someone for tag teams, and then maybe the roles would all switch or the partners would switch. And it would just, we'd try and find a way. Can we go 2 years without having to wrestle anybody except each other? And that was Richie and I down there in PNPW. We had one spot that he loved in every match. Richie would not go over a match. Richie would, like, give you the finish and you would call it in the ring. But he would always give one spot, which was when he would give me the overhead belly to belly off the ropes. And whatever the spot was, all I remember was I'd hit the ropes and he would just fling my ass 50 feet in the air. And we did it in every single solitary match. And I don't know who it was. It may have been him. I beat somebody for the PNPW television championship. I'm not even sure PNPW had television. In fact, Texarkana didn't have television either. So I've been television champion twice for promotions that didn't have television, which may be some sort of record. But he was the booker. And so I won the television title. And I came back for the next show. I will never forget this. I have it in my trophy case right over there. Richie just comes up to me and he goes, I got something for you. And he gave me this little gold, or it's like a brass keychain. And it just said, PNPW TV Champion in all caps. That was like my reward for being the television champion. I was like, this is the coolest fucking thing ever. I didn't even use it for a keychain. Because I was afraid that it would be, like, scratched, you know? It probably cost, like, $5 to get a little brass keychain engraved. But I got that thing in there right now to this day. That was the coolest thing that I got from Richie. And we had great matches. We got Vinny in there. There was Tadger. Remember Tadger?
That's right, he was booking the, was it PNPW in the Elks Lodge?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I remember the shows. I forgot the company name.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, those were fun. This isn't even a Richie story. I'm going to tell it anyway. He was there. But I was, as we have discussed in the show, I was on Buddy's shit list for a while.
It
took me a long time to get off said shit list.
Oh, yeah, as years.
As I was working my way off the shit list, we were doing a show for Tim, and it was Buddy and Richie against me and Rugged Rod. And we're going over the match backstage, and, you know, this, of course, means we are keeping our mouth shut and listening to everything Buddy says and trying and, you know, just listening. And he's going over the key to the hot tag, and he says, all right, Rod, they got the heat on Rod, and say, Rod, Richie's going to have your arms. I'll come off the ropes. You move. I'll hit Richie, and you tag Vince. At this point, Rod raises his hand like he's in school.
Such a great story.
Buddy looks at him and says, yes. And Rod says, if he's got my arms, How will I be able to move? And Buddy looked at him, and he blinked, and he blinked again, and he said, he'll let you go because it's fake.
Never not funny. This was the rest.
This is what we were working with, everyone.
And this was when it was good.
Yes.
This was our best memories of this business. When questions like that came up. How am I going to move if he's got my arms? Practically weeping right now at the memory of this.
I remember Richie was really, he was a hardworking man. On top of being kind, he had actually managed a couple of Napa stores down in Portland.
Oh my God.
And
I remember this.
He was going to receive a big award.
It was Man of the Year or
that's
something.
Right.
Yeah. And it was, there was going to be a ceremony and Rich was going to accept this big award. And the night before, there was a show for Tim Flowers.
Before you tell about the store, the show, let me give a little more background.
Go ahead.
Richie was a shooter. He was a great amateur. And when we were working, he was a little older and he was a little heavier. He looked like a guy who was going to win the Napa Man of the Year award. He did not look like Kurt Angle, okay? But he would fucking kill you if he wanted to. And I was always petrified of Richie. I swear to God. Richie was the nicest guy in the world. It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. I was scared shitless of this guy all the time. I never wanted to do anything wrong. I was always very quiet around him. I was afraid I would say something stupid and he would want to kill me. So whenever we had matches together, I always went out of my way. I was as light as they come. I was even lighter around Richie. I always tried to just be as easy and as light as humanly possible so as not to do anything to get on Richie's bad side. Mm-hmm. So yes, Man of the Year was coming up the next day. This is not even an exaggeration, the next day.
Right. And there was a tag match.
Yes.
And it was a hardcore tag match. Anything goes.
That's right.
At some point, Richie picked up a chair and the spot was Brian is going to kick said chair into Richie's face.
Yeah. Drop kick.
Yeah. So this happens. The chair hit Richie in the face and Richie came up bleeding and he didn't gig.
To be fair, and this is the only reason I'm pretty sure that Richie didn't kill me.
Mm.
I actually did my spot right. I didn't really kick it into his face.
Right.
But what happened was, when he took the bump, the chair went up in the air.
That's true.
And it came down and landed right on his face.
So, Richie the next day accepted this quote-unquote Man of the Year award for Napa with 12 stitches in his head.
Oh, yeah. You have never seen a man more apologetic than I was after that occurred. Because I thought I kicked it into his face. I thought it was my fault. I was so scared. I thought he was going to kill me. But he was so nice about it. And this was before we even went back, because later we went back and watched the videotape over and over again. And it turned out that it was just a fluke freak thing.
Mm.
But even before he knew that, he didn't kill me. He liked me for some reason. I don't even know why.
Nor do I.
I was very thankful.
I got to wrestle Richie one time, and there's all the training that you do really doesn't prepare you to get into the ring.
No.
And
well, it does a little bit.
You know what I mean.
Sure.
But there are two men that I've actually been in the ring with that you learn more in 7 or 8 minutes in the ring with those guys than in all your training. And one was Ed Moretti and the other one was Richie Magnet.
That's right.
Mm, yeah.
And
you never were in the ring with Buddy?
I never got to wrestle Buddy, no.
Never wrestled Buddy?
I never got to.
Wow.
I mean, I worked out with him a few times at his gym, but never. Anyway.
How about that?
My other favorite story, and it Richie was having a party. He got a Harley Davidson, and he invited everybody down to his place in Portland. And so myself, Brian Alvarez, Vincent Verhey, and Buddy Wayne piled into a car, and we went to Portland. And on the way, Buddy was teasing Vinny about his slobbiness. And
I was not a snappy dresser.
No,
I'm sitting here. I hope this is the same story.
By the way, I'm sitting here today in the Hardcore Express Wrestling Federation T-shirt that is 15 years old. Mm-hmm. It's like literally the only.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I am a slob today. Haven't shaved in days.
I can't believe it still fits.
So
actually, you're much thinner lately, but that's another story. Go ahead, Craig.
So Buddy thought it'd be a great idea if we played Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And we stopped at an outlet mall.
Although he reversed those terms, but...
Yeah, I was being kind. And we went to an outlet mall, and we shopped for Vince. We bought him a nice pair of khaki shorts, a button-up shirt, a nice hat, and he was looking great. And Buddy was so proud of himself. There was more to the story, but I was going to leave that out.
Why?
Okay, so Vincent had a thing for Buddy's now wife. And so Buddy's plan was to hook up Vinny with Shauna, Buddy's wife.
I think, well hang on, that's not exactly
what happened. Buddy knew there was no chance.
Yeah.
He knew there was no chance in the world that Vince was going to end up with his now wife.
Yeah. I think Buddy took it as a challenge.
It wasn't even that. It was like a rib.
Oh, that too.
Like, he wanted to see you try and fail.
Well, that too. That too.
That was his whole intent to this.
I think, but if somehow in a 1 in a million shot, it had been a success, he would have taken pride.
He would have taken pride. Yes. But I don't think he had much to worry
and
about.
We need to clarify this crystal clear. They weren't married. I wasn't married.
Right. No, this was a decade ago, yes. At least. But if I recall correctly, within 5 minutes, she came up to me and was like, what the fuck are you guys trying to do?
I didn't know that.
I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. He always dresses like this.
Just the visual of us in the outlet mall trying to find stuff for Vince to wear.
Just to fit.
Just to look good. Yeah. And to fit. It was just high comedy.
Oh, man.
And of course, we went there and Richie and Tammy had this huge spread and lots of folks over. Playboy Buddy Rose was there. And
that's right.
He tried to get gimmicks off of me. And it was just awesome. And they were great people. And Richie was one of the kindest men I ever met in pro wrestling. And he'll be missed.
I gotta get Buddy on the show to tell some stories. I tried to get him on here today. I don't know if I had the wrong number or what the deal was, but we'll get him on here at some point. But
the final end of that story, by the way, is at the end of the night, Shauna got in the car with her uncle, Moondog Moretti. And they talked for 15, 20 seconds before the car moved, and as they drove by, Moondog's driving. And as he drives by, he looks at me and he's pointing and crying with laughter. Just howling.
This is a great story of all time.
It really is a fine one, yeah.
Oh, my God. I haven't even told any stories about when we used to go up to Cloverdale. I think one of my...
I never worked with them in Cloverdale. You did.
Really? Yeah.
I worked with them in Tacoma.
I believe I may have won a set of tag team titles from Buddy and Richie. It was a cage match.
That's right.
It was me and Samito against Buddy and Richie.
You won them by yourself.
That was, I think, the second time.
Okay.
Then anyway, but yeah, Richie was the best. I'm very, very sad. I am happy that I got to see him one more time when me and Buddy did that last match in Portland. He came by and I got to see him again. So I was very happy about that. But a great guy. They were both so great. Yeah. Yes, Craig.
I was remembering the cage match, and you were supposed to gig.
Oh, it was not as effective as when Richie bled.
He
if I've never told this story,
Buddy,
all you need to know is this was old school blading, in that I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
It's true.
And Buddy's like, let me make your gig. Let me make your blade. And I was like, okay, this should be fun. So he made the blade on my finger. And what it was, you make, it's like a, what was the word, Vinny, that we were looking for the other day? It's like a device. Actually a device. It's not just taping a blade to your finger. It's a device where the blade is in there, but like you can use your thumb to push it so the blade comes out, like an X-Acto knife. And then you can slide it back in so that it's hidden.
You take a pair of scissors, you cut the blade.
Yes.
And then you tape the bottom of it, but not tight, so you can slip it back in and out of your...
Yes, so you can slide it up and down. So I don't know what I did, but it was out the whole time. And of course, I'm chopping Buddy. His fucking chest is just like... His chest got way more juice than my head did.
Yeah.
He's just bleeding in his chest. He's like, stop chopping me. I'm bleeding everywhere. And I'm like, I'm not hitting you that hard. And then later it turns out I was just slicing with a fucking razor blade. So we do the big spot where I go into the cage and everything like that. And I fall down on all fours. And I slide the thing out. And I go... Ch-ch-ch. Just like that, three times.
Brian's making a motion on his forehead.
Yeah. And it sounded and felt like if you take an X-Acto knife and the sound it makes when you cut through some cardboard.
Right.
It's exactly what it sounded and felt like. It was no fun. So I go three times.
Again with the forehead motion. Yep.
And I come up and Buddy's like laying in the punches and he just kind of looks at me funny as he's punching me. He goes, did you do it? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, there's nothing there. Do it again. So he punches me and I fall down. And now I'm like desperate that nothing came out. And so this time I go,
again with the motion on the forehead.
Yeah, like 8-9 times. And still nothing came out.
Yeah.
But I got all these scratches all over my head. And there's like this tiny little trickle of blood. And after that, it was like, I'm never doing this shit again. This is stupid. But the big spot was... What was it? I think Richie threw me at Buddy, and Buddy threw me up for a backdrop, and I went over his head and landed standing on the top rope and then kicked the door open and fell out and won. That was the big finish of the match. And anyway, Richie Magnet was awesome. And everybody go up on YouTube and find some Richie Magnet matches. Apparently there's a lot of Buddy and Richie matches. I'm sure you can find some with the four of us, or at least the three of us and whoever my partner was on any given day. Vinny, maybe. Did we do? Was it me and you against Buddy and Richie a bunch of times, Vinny? I don't even remember.
Some.
I seem to recall a ton
of matches. It was you and a partner against Buddy and Richie.
Yes.
And I think I was one of the rotating fourth person.
Yes, I think that was one of our gimmicks to work together forever. It was Buddy and Richie against me. Oh, you know what else? We had a great gimmick in. This is my last story because I'll be here all night. We had a deal at the Temple Theater where me and Buddy and Richie were a 6-man team. And we had all these 6-man matches. And so we all wore bandanas. So, you know, Richie always wore a bandana. But since we ended up being a team, me and Buddy and Richie all wore bandanas. And the game we would play was, we would tell everybody, you got to work light with us. You know how Buddy is. I'm old and my back is broken and Richie will kill you and Brian's our partner. So the deal was you had to work as light as possible. And the moment one of our bandanas fell off, you fucked up. So you had to somehow like be doing headlocks and we'd push you off into the ropes. And through all of this, our bandanas never came off. That was the gimmick. And man, we had so many fun matches with those guys. It was the best wrestling times of my life, I'd go as far as to say. So anyway, in conclusion, everybody look on YouTube, find some Richie Magnet, Buddy Wayne matches and enjoy yourselves because it doesn't get much better than on the indie scene, especially around here. It was awesome.
The world is a shittier place than it was a week ago.
That's right. Let's play a song and then we'll go into Raw. I'm going to play this one because Richie was the cream of the crop.
Cream rise to the top. Cream rise to the top. Oh yeah. Cream rise to the top. Something right now. Let me say it out loud. I am the cream in the World Wrestling Federation. There is no doubt. Cream rise to the top. You know that I'm the cream of the crop. Oh yeah. Pure athlete, yeah. And I've been not. Yeah, my wife.
Oh yeah. Ain't nothing gonna stop me.
There you go, everybody. Let's do Raw.
So, for those of you who have not been paying attention, Raw was awesome this week.
Yeah.
It really was.
What the hell happened?
I don't know, but I hope it happens again. First of all, never leave Montreal.
Truth.
This crowd was awesome for most of the show. Randy Orton came out for a promo. And right from the get-go, what the hell got into Randy Orton this evening? He was awesome.
I think it was the crowd.
That helped. He was having fun. He was relaxed. He was interactive. He was going off script. So he's going off about how he's going to, you know, just talks a little bit about how he's going to win the title at Payback, and there's nothing Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns could do about it. Roman came out. They were jibber-jabbering. They had great chemistry. Crowd loved Randy. And then they were interrupted by, of all people, the New Day.
That was unexpected.
Indeed it was. I thought perhaps I'd accidentally fast-forwarded. I wasn't sure what was going on. So the New Day...
Sucked.
No. Actually, the crowds thought so. And Randy
actually is so much better since this New Day suck thing started happening.
The past 2 weeks of the New Day have been great. So, in fact, here's what I wrote. In this moment, right here before my eyes, the New Day became the best thing in WWE in at least a year.
Let's not get crazy.
They were ragging on Orton and Reigns for all their failures. And Big E had a line where he said, Seth Rollins, he doesn't just have your number, Randy. He's got it on speed dial. And Kofi and Xavier cackled. They howled. They covered their mouths. They ran in circles. They thought this was the best joke they've ever heard. This is what wrestling has been missing for 20 years. Heels who laugh hysterically at their own shitty jokes.
You know what's funny about it, too, was it was a really, really shitty joke.
It was awful.
And I was expecting that when they made this really shitty joke, Randy Orton would look at them the way that Buddy Wayne
yes, looked at Rugged Rod.
Look at Rugged Rod. But instead, if you go back...
Oh, no, I watched this, too.
They make this shitty joke. Randy goes... Oh!
Randy reacted like he'd just been told his truck's tires have been slashed.
Like, man, you got me!
God damn it! So, they let Orton and Reigns know they would have a chance to do something extraordinary. They could clap with the New Day!
And they did!
And they asked, are you ready? And the New Day did their clap, and Randy and Roman clapped along in the most half-assed, sarcastic manner possible.
This, by the way, is also the best usage of Roman Reigns. Because Roman Reigns is a charismatic guy, and he really does, like, you could tell he's got a weird sense of humor. And him smirking at these dipshits is great.
Yes.
It's so awesome.
So they announced, finally, that Kane had booked the three of them against Orton and Reigns in a handicap match. And this is the best promo segment in forever and ever and ever and ever.
I was wondering when they were going to get the Montreal Screwjob line in. And Xavier actually snuck it in when he told Roman and Randy, nobody cares about your Montreal boo-hoo job.
Yeah. These lines.
Yeah.
Heels should tell bad jokes and laugh at them.
Yeah, they should.
They always should. So it was Randy Orton and Roman Reigns versus all three of the New Day. So it's a 2-on-3 match. Now let's talk about Booker T. He had a bad segment here. First, he claims it's not handicap. It's Freebird rules.
Mm-hmm. So oh, yeah?
Clearly, he has no idea what the Freebird rules actually mean.
Or forgotten.
Then, JBL was talking about the three-way title match. He talked about how absurd it would be if Lou Fez had lost his title in a three-way. And Booker T, trying to make an issue about how things change, he said, the Edsel was a good car in its day.
Yes.
So Booker also has no idea what the Edsel actually meant.
Yeah.
Then... Booker T.
Didn't Archie drive an Edsel?
I don't know. The Edsel's a famous car that failed.
Yeah.
So then he said that Big E lifts weights for breakfast.
And lunch.
And lunch, he added, yes. So long heat segment on Roman. They had a lot of time, had a great old school tag match. Orton got the hot tag, went nuts. Place was going ballistic. And this finish was so awesome. Randy is kicking all sorts of ass. He is doing just fine. And then Roman tries a spear, and Kofi dodges, and Randy eats the spear, and Kofi makes the cover, and he pins Randy Orton.
I couldn't even believe it.
There are so many great things about this. First of all, they finally figured out, maybe you're tag team champions. should win matches, especially when they have the other team outnumbered. Two, like I say, Randy Orton was doing fine. He can be legitimately pissed at Roman Reigns for screwing him and costing him the match. And Roman can say, look, it's not what I meant to do, but the bottom line is, my spear pinned you. There is so much they can do out of this. And oh, by the way, it was a very good match too.
A very, very good and good finish. Couldn't believe I saw Kofi Kingston pinning Randy Orton. Never thought I'd see that. And my favorite wrestler in the world this week, until I see King Cuerno and Pentagon Jr. on Wednesday, I'm sure, is in fact Xavier Woods. Hot damn, this guy's awesome. He is so great. Not even just wrestling. It's not even the wrestling. It's him cheerleading and talking shit during the match. I don't know what came over this guy, but all of a sudden, one day, he became awesome.
Yeah, it was a fun match, and the finish was just absolutely perfect. And New Day as a heel team, of course, I'm going to say something, you know, that's going to blow your mind. They're way better as heels than they are baby faces.
What?
It's true.
I know.
I feel like Randy Orton when that joke was made. I've been knocked off my bicycle.
Yeah. So I've turned the corner with these guys.
I think the whole world has turned the corner on them.
And by the way, Big E giving the overhead belly to belly on Roman Reigns.
Oh, Big E's a freak.
Spectacular.
Yeah. He never stops being a freak, that's for sure. So went to commercial and they came back. Kane passed the New Day backstage. They were having a huge party. We did it, Kane! Some of the things they were screaming. Kane rolled his eyes at them. And he ran into Seth Rollins. There was some stupid humor about Santa Claus. And then Kane booked Seth in a rematch with Dean Rollins. And
Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose, excuse me. And since there was interference in the match last week, he was banning J&J security from ringside. Seth said, wait a minute. J&J didn't interfere. You did. And Kane didn't care, and Seth kept mouthing off, and Kane kept threatening to book him with worse and worse stips, and finally Seth stormed away.
And truthfully, J&J did interfere, but we're not supposed to pay any attention to SmackDown, I think, as part of the gimmick.
Kane said that when he was a child, he would wait in the chimney for Santa Claus with a blowtorch and would try to roast his chestnuts.
Yeah, that's why I just dubbed it stupid Santa Claus comedy. Or did you like that line?
No, it was dumb.
Okay.
I actually...
on the other hand, you hate Christmas. I can see you doing this.
I hate it less now that I'm married.
And have cats?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryback came out for a backstage interview in the ring. Mm. I haven't done this in a while. So, Renee even had a good question rather than your thoughts.
Dude, she always has a good question. She's the best interview person they've got.
Her question was, why did Bray Wyatt target you last week? So Ryback starts off with a script, and it's just being lame answers, and the crowd starts to chant for Goldberg, and Ryback looks around and grabs his mic and says, the big guy loves you too. And people started to, they kind of reacted to that, and he said, hey, if I ignore you, you just keep doing it. And this made everyone like him, and they started chanting, feed me more.
It was weird, but it worked.
When Ryback going off script saves the promo, you know you are watching a magical television program. So he's talking about his injuries and turning negatives into positives and how he wants to be a hero for children. And he talked about Bray and said it's feeding time. And then Bray appeared on the big screen for a spooky promo, and he claimed Ryback painted himself as invulnerable, but inside he was a scared little boy. And this was a better promo segment to build to a match than anything Bray did with The Undertaker for WrestleMania.
Really? I didn't give one shit about it, actually. I did like that when he said, feed me more at the end, it was because he said the time for talking is over. And then Bray came out and talked. I do not give a shit about this feud right now. They must try harder.
What smoky place is Bray in when he's cutting these promos?
He's in a...
Vince McMahon's walk-in humidor.
They need to have better ventilation wherever he's at. I'm worried that
that's what you got out of this?
The carcinogens are going to get to him and he's going to get black lung.
Write that down, Vinny.
Right, get black lung. All right.
Why doesn't he just carry a canary in every time he does a promo? And if the thing dies, he can go elsewhere.
Stop mid-promo.
Whoop, yeah.
Gotta go.
Bird's dead.
Bird's dead. Bird down. We got a bird down. Kid and Cesaro versus the Ascension.
This. I can't believe I loved it.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean,
the Ascension of all things.
They got the heat and were completely completely competent, beating up Tyson for a while. JBL said this weekend would have been the 100th birthday of Stu Hart, and tonight was, in fact, the 100th birthday of Scott Armstrong. And the other announcers completely no-sold it, and that made it much, much funnier. They just accepted this and moved on. So Cesaro's making his comeback, which included whipping Victor into the corner and charging him with an uppercut 10 times in a row.
I actually rewound it to count.
Yeah.
And it was better the second time.
Actually, it was better the third time and the fourth time. The more he did it, the more the crowd got into it.
Well, that's because anytime you do something 10 times, by the 10th time, they will be more into it than the first time.
That's true.
Unless it's like a chin lock.
Or a high five. Actually, a high five would work.
In fact, it got so over that I expect them to say, you know, you can't do that no more.
So, Kid wiped out Connor with a dive.
He nearly killed Victor, by the way. Victor running back and forth 10 times. By about time 8, he was really slowing down.
He was blowed up.
It's a lot of running. So, Kid wiped out Connor with a dive in the Swiss Can Connection, one with the giant swing dropkick spot. And the crowd loved Cesaro even more than they loved Kid. And the announcers plugged their rematch again with the New Day. And that makes the earlier finish even better, because it didn't just elevate the tag champs, but it elevates the guys the tag champs are feuding with.
Best Ascension match I've ever seen.
Probably, yeah.
Wow. That ain't saying much.
Right. But I'm saying it.
Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins. Kane came out and said, you know, Seth, earlier you had said this match was pointless. I'm going to change that. So now, if Dean wins, he gets added to the pay-per-view main event, and it'll be a four-way. And Seth says, Kane, you can't do that. We had an app vote. That made me laugh. But Kane didn't care, so that was the stips. And God, this match ruled. This match was awesome. This match would have been the best match on the last pay-per-view. This match would have been the best match on several pay-per-views. Just a tremendous 15-plus minute championship level match. And it was not like I mentioned the when we did Impact the other day, how every match felt like guys were going a million miles an hour the whole time. This match, they were going a million miles an hour the whole time, but it was long, and there were times when they'd be moving in there and they never got close to blown up. They were in better shape than Victor. And the big finish was Seth hitting the powerbomb into the barricade and teasing a countout finish, and Dean just barely got back in the ring. At this point, J&J, who had been banned, they ran out and tried to interfere, but Dean fought them off, and he won with the schoolboy. And the ref counted three, and Dean looked to the sky, and he arched his back, and he threw his outstretched hands into the air, elated.
Yes.
This win meant everything to him.
You never saw a guy so happy to win a match.
Yeah. And then we got like a minute. It was nothing but Seth seething in the ring, and Dean partying on the ramp, basking in the respective triumph and failure. This was so great, and this is an amazing TV show to this point.
There's a spot where Ambrose is on his knees, and Seth threw the super kick, and Dean just takes a bump. And it didn't look like anything spectacular until they showed it in slow motion on the replay. Seth kicked him so hard that his face, there was a visible ripple that went through his cheeks and across his nose and to the other side of his face. And
lay it in, kid.
Good night. Yeah, this match was absolutely spectacular. ROH style match, fast pace, and a good long match to boot. None of these 2 minute things that, well, we're going to talk about next.
Seth went to kill Kane backstage. J&J held him back, and Seth is ranting about all Kane has done to him. And this is such great. It used to be standard issue, but now they've forgotten how to do it. But here it was great. Subtle heel stuff. Seth is whining and blaming all of his failures and his hand in life on other people, taking no responsibility for his own actions. Great heel. So Kane kept threatening to add people to the match, and he finally assured Seth he had a plan.
A plan.
A secret plan.
I can only... Those are always great. Maybe 3 years in the making, but...
Remember when Heidenreich had a plan?
They always pan out in the end.
Was it Heidenreich or Snitsky? One of them had a plan.
I think they had one together, didn't they?
They might have. Byron Saxton interviewed Lana backstage.
Byron is no Renee.
That's a fact. He asked her how it felt to have the crowd cheer for her. She pretended to not know what he was talking about. Fandango interrupted, said the ecstasy of being accepted by the universe was euphoric. And yes, that is pretty close to a quote. He told her to watch this, and he left. And Rusev arrived, and he roared for a while.
Yeah.
So we got Rusev versus Fandango. So the whole point of this was for Fandango to, you know, explain to Lana how great it was to be cheered, and they took away his entrance, or at least didn't show it on TV. So they didn't show him being cheered. So Rusev came out, of course, and Lana got cheered, and that pissed him off. So early on, Fandango gets the advantage, and he rolls outside, and he tries to get Lana, not even to dance with him, but to Fandango with him.
Yeah.
And Lana is stone-faced. She has no time for the silliness. But then her smile cracks just a bit, and she starts pumping her fingers, not even in the air, but like up to her shoulders. She smiles a little more, and the more she does it, the more fun she has. Lana is amazing, everyone. I don't know if you knew this.
I knew it.
So, yeah, Lana's the best. This is the most fun she ever had in her entire life. And Rusev ordered her to the back, of course. Everyone booed. And Fandango got a flurry.
You're understating this greatly. When she started doing this dance, this place went crazy. And thank God, too, because, like, the idea of Lana, her babyface turn beginning when she starts doing Fandango's dance, I was like, what in the fuck are they doing here? But the place goes crazy. And then Rusev gets mad and he jumps Fandango from behind and he sends her to the back and she has the best sad puppy dog face. And the fans are furious. Furious that she is being sent away. The heat this got when Lana was sent away. They keep chanting, "We want Lana" afterwards. Of course, Rusev kills the guy. This was something else, let me tell you.
They plugged the ESPN special on NXT. That was tonight, wasn't it?
Yes.
I have to go back and check that
started
out.
Started at
8.
Or 5 if you have DirecTV.
Either way, I missed it.
I have Frontier, and it also started at 5.
Well, there you go.
And we got some,
but it's 8 Pacific.
We got some tough enough submission videos, and they're putting a few more hopeless goofs on TV. My favorite was the guy who said he would out-heart anyone.
Yeah. Good luck, dude.
Some pretty girls are auditioning for this thing.
What was Sheik's line? Very pretty women?
You wrote that down?
No. Making an observation?
Yes. Attractive women have tried out for Tough Enough. You know who else tried out? Muscular men.
I don't care about that.
And fat guys.
A bunch of goofs.
I don't care about that either.
There are some fat fellas that have tried out.
They're not going to make it.
I kind of hope they do.
There's got to be one fat guy.
Yeah, probably.
Truth versus Stardust.
This match.
Was stupid.
This failed.
Failed? I don't even...
So, Stardust's character is very wacky. Either you absolutely can't stand it, or you kind of think it's funny. I'm a comic book geek, so I kind of think it's funny.
Really? You watch his inset promos and you're just like, this is kind of funny.
I don't hate them. I don't hate them as much as I hate a lot of other stuff on most shows. It may have been this was for sure the worst segment on this particular episode.
Let me say this. I am also a comic book fan and love comic movies. This is stupid. It started off great and it's gotten really, really stupid.
So he's upset that Truth knocked him out of the King of the Ring tournament and he vowed revenge. And oh, what a plot he had. He had a secret bag. And Truth could not resist. Wanted to know what was in this bag. And it turns out what was in the bag was fake spiders.
Yeah.
And he was scared and Stardust pinned him and Truth ran away. And Michael Cole said, in exactly this tone, a grown man is running away from plastic spiders.
To which JBL said, they might be rubber.
Yeah.
I did like. It was a bag, and there were spiders in it. Plastic spiders.
Or rubber.
So, if he would have just opened the bag and looked in, we would have never known what was in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
But when he opened the bag, he was forced to fling the bag high in the air so that spiders would go everywhere, all over him.
Well, he was frightened, you see, Brian.
Have I mentioned how stupid this was?
It was very, very dumb.
This was a stupid segment. About halfway through the show, there were people on Twitter going, did Vince not show up today? Why is the show so good? Was Vince not here? And it was like, well, if you didn't know he was here before, you know he's there now! It sucked.
I'm a full-grown man on my couch watching not even good Saturday morning cartoon humor. It's just so dumb. Why did they insult my intelligence like this? In this great show.
I don't think they were insulting your intelligence. I don't know if that's the proper term. I don't think they thought...
It's a term I've used many times watching their program.
I don't think they thought you thought they were real spiders. I think they just had a really stupid fucking idea.
No, but they thought he thought it would be funny.
Right.
That's why he's insulting.
I don't know about that either. Who cares? Why are we talking about this? Move on to John Cena.
John Cena came out, and it turns out that Montreal hates him. Hates him. They were singing that he sucked long after his music stopped, and he tried to plug the I Quit match, but the crowd, apparently word got out about what was about to happen. They began to sing the Olay song, and he just started laughing. So finally, he said that they were like him and that they were passionate. And everyone there, when the times got tough and someone asked them to quit, they weren't going to do it, just like he wouldn't. Started pointing out individual fans, including the guy in the Nordiques jersey, and the Montreal fans booed their rival team, which left town nearly 20 years ago. Sang the Canadian song, and it was actually a hell of a promo by Cena, because they stopped hating him and started hating Quebec. So finally, it was time for his open challenge, and he called it a mystery opponent, and out came Bret the Hitman Hart.
Yeah.
He came out, and he said he obviously was not there to wrestle, but he said he was there to introduce someone, a great wrestler, and out came Heath Slater. He said, and he cut a promo as he got down to the ring. He said this was his moment. He was not let it be stepped on. First, he had been RKO'd out of nowhere, and then Rusev had killed him out of nowhere. He was sick and tired of being attacked out of nowhere. And as he said this, he stepped into the ring and Bret Hart very casually dropped him with a microphone shot and moved on with his life.
And we never saw Heath again, by the way.
This was so ridiculously great.
Mm-hmm. I love the idea that Heath, he was only hit with a microphone.
Yes.
And it wasn't even like these microphones here, what might actually kill you. But he was hit with a microphone. And then apparently just resigned himself to the fact that he'd failed again.
Yes.
And he went away.
I can't wait till they actually have this match. I think it's going to be good.
If they do in the right city, it will be enormous.
Bret versus Heath?
Bret.
What's the match you're talking about?
John Cena.
Oh, Cena and Heath Slater. Yeah, that didn't even cross my mind.
The match they've been trying to do for 4 weeks? That was a whole storyline here.
He has attempted to take the challenge four weeks in a row. So I cannot get over how great Bret was here. Just he hits this microphone shot and doesn't even pause to reflect on it. He just moves on and says, anyway. And his face is blank. He killed Heath with his microphone the way you would swat away a fly. And just, you don't care. So he was, of course, there to introduce a hometown boy, one of NXT's biggest stars, and out came young Samuel Zayn in what was the best moment of his life for about 15 seconds. And we've all seen Sammy 1,000 times, and we've seen Sammy in particular 100 times, and we all talk about how great his music is. He has the best music in wrestling. This song is so perfect for him and for this show and for this moment.
It's very funny you say that. My son looked at me and goes, Dad, I love this music.
Oh, it's awesome. It's so happy.
Mm.
And he came out, and he was looking at his people, and he ran out on the stairs to pump them up, and then something went wrong, and he hurt his shoulder.
Swung his fist.
Yeah. So that sucks.
Yeah.
And he fought through it, and actually he had a good match. It would have been the best match on many episodes of Raw. It was a distant third this week. And I was also surprised. I thought he'd be much smaller than Cena. And of course he's smaller. He's much skinnier, but he's
a large man.
He's bigger than I thought. How is that?
Some stupid ad.
All right. So, yeah, they had a very good match. It was hurt by two things. One, of course, Sammy was actually hurt.
That's a major
that,
thing.
That's 90-10 of the split of the two things. The other thing is that this crowd desperately, desperately, desperately wanted Sammy to win, but I don't think any of them actually believed he really had a chance. And in fact, he did not. And after kicking out of every move and kicked out of the AA and hit most of his own moves, and finally Cena hit the stunner off the ropes and the AA and won. And people were sad, but they had been resigned to that fate all along.
This was a classic example. I've seen some of this on the board of people who are upset. They believe that Dave has vastly underrated this match. And maybe they've never watched a Sami Zayn match before, but I've been watching Generico matches for at least a decade now, and I've watched every Sami Zayn match that he's had on NXT and on all of the specials, and this was, no joke, the worst Sami Zayn match maybe I've ever seen.
Definitely below average, yeah.
It's not even like that's a... I'm not even burying the guy.
When we first saw him, basically, it was when Jubbs flew us down for Bola. And Jubbs, I think he said Generico's gimmick is that he has the best match in every show.
That's right.
And then we laughed until we watched the shows.
That's right. And it was years, honest to God, it was years before I saw a show where he didn't, in fact, have the best match on the show. I mean, it literally was years. He had the best match on every show that I saw him on forever. And he is so good that saying that this match wasn't very good, this is hardly a burial of a guy whose fucking shoulder came out of the socket. It wasn't a very good match. The day is going to come where he wrestles John Cena again, and it will blow this fucking match out of the water. Mark my words. This is not a burial in any way of Sami Zayn. In fact, when this match was over and Sami Zayn was going to the back, maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think I saw what you're talking
about.
But
I could have sworn that the doctor or somebody came up to him as he was heading up the ramp, and Sami Zayn said, it sucked.
Yes, that's exactly okay? What I saw.
That's from Sami fucking Zayn, thought his own match sucked. So I don't feel like myself or anybody else are being hard on the guy for saying that this match sucked.
If anything...
And it wasn't like it sucked, but for a Sami Zayn match, it wasn't very good, and he was hurt.
The stuff he pulled off with a separated shoulder was absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, he had some good moves.
He even did the thing where he dives through the bottom and middle rope and hits the spinning DDT, the tornado DDT, to the floor. And when he did that, he hit his hand on the post hard. I don't know what everybody was expecting. I mean, I'm sure the match would have been 100 times better had he not had his arm fall out of socket. There was nothing. The match wasn't bad, but to say Generico had the worst match ever of his life, that's high praise for most people.
What, if anything, you're talking about how great he is and that you expect so much better out of him.
Right.
And we'll get so much better out of him in every other match he has until he completely falls apart.
Yeah. By the way, is his shoulder okay? Or
I don't know.
So, 2 hours later, the New Day were still partying backstage.
Great.
That's tremendous.
And they're positive.
And happy they won. Winning means a lot to them. Thank God. The Bellas walked by and just rolled their eyes at them. Renee was about to interview Sammy when the New Day came barreling in. They celebrated their win. Xavier plugged what he called my special on ESPN. And then the Swiss Can Connection arrived. They interrupted. They said the only
one... Is that what they're called?
And that's what I'm calling them.
Okay.
I'm tired of saying Kid and Cesaro.
It's so difficult. Go on.
Gotta entertain myself somehow. So they said the New Day only won because Roman and Randy hated each other just like other people hate the New Day. And they led the crowd in chants of New Day sucks, and this legit hurt the champion's feelings, and they sulked away.
I think they should have just stayed positive, but what can you do?
Bellas came out for a match, but they got jumped from behind by Naomi, and they're returning Tamina Snuka.
She's back.
And Naomi got a...
Eagerly awaiting a return, I was.
Sure. And Naomi got a new look with braids and black leather, and Tamina had a big, giant, bouffant hairdo. And they destroy the Bellas and lay them out with a super kick and an enziguri. And the announcers, using some very convoluted logic, try to explain that Naomi and Tamina are now cousins.
Yeah. Well, Naomi said it too. This is what family is all about.
That's what she said. So we are now 2 hours and 38 minutes into the show. And really, it should have ended after that New Day promo. Because the last half hour of the show kind of fell off a cliff. 2 hours, 38 minutes into the show, they finally mentioned, oh, by the way, Wade Barrett won King of the Ring. If it was important, they should have mentioned a while ago. So Wade came out for a promo. Didn't really say much other than he's king now. And we got Wade and Sheamus versus Neville and Dolph. It was a nothing match. Got Neville's comeback, which is always fun. And then there was a four-way. Sheamus very sloppily slammed Dolph into a chair on the floor, and Dolph fell out on his head. And Wade caught Neville in midair with a bullhammer for the win because Neville's a loser.
No, the bigger deal is King Barrett won. It was amazing.
That is true.
You're way underselling Sheamus carelessly dumping Dolph.
He tried to kill him.
Picked him up for a body slam, walked over to the timekeeper's area, and deposited him.
He didn't deposit him. He threw him.
And he bounced off one of those office chairs and nailed his head on the... Oh, my goodness. It looked.
You know what, though? Let me say one thing. Let me say one thing about that. I'm not blaming Dolph here. Okay? It is Sheamus' fault, and he was very careless. Okay? But when you're a wrestler... And your whole gimmick is you take all sorts of stupid bumps and nearly kill yourself all the time. When you come across a guy like Sheamus, he ain't going to take care of your body. And again, this is not Dolph's fault. I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying. Maybe I am blaming him. Quit taking all these stupid bumps. It's Sheamus' fault, though. This is not the first guy that Sheamus has been careless with either.
No.
Including one of them who's out of action for a long time now as a result of this guy.
Oh, you mean Daniel Bryan?
That'd be who I meant.
Yeah. Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton in the main event. Seth and his whole crew came out to watch, and they were all announcers or enforcers or
bell keepers,
Jimmy Noble said. So as soon as they came out, the crowd said, well, nothing's going to happen here until these heels interfere. So they didn't care about anything that went on, and Randy and Roman slept walk through a match for 10 minutes. Then the heels came out and beat them all up. And Dean came out and made the save. And Rollins got speared, and then Reigns got RKO'd, and Ambrose DDT'd Orton, and he ended the show standing tall. And that was that. So yes, that show fell off a cliff in the last half hour, but up till then, a fabulous show.
I wasn't much into that main event right there.
What happened? There was no bell. I blame
because
Jay.
The bell
keeper.
Yeah,
was
he was
busy.
The bell keeper. He
yes,
was
I
busy
him.
Running in.
So obviously,
and no
it was
one
a
else
DQ.
Could grab the hammer. Apparently,
yeah, are you updating this for your records, Craig? You must. Know
as soon as I said grab decision. The hammer, it just Craig's brain stopped. You can't say things like that
you
on the show.
You people should hear what I keep in. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Craig, you're welcome to get it out.
No, no, I'm good.
That's the gimmick of this show.
It's a podcast. It's audio-based.
Yes, we can't read your mind.
It's a good thing.
And I'm very happy about that.
Let me give you a tip about radio, Craig.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Better when you say it.
No, not for me.
Because we can't hear it otherwise.
Right.
Maybe I can get some microphone that I put in your ear. And whatever you think just comes out.
Don't do this.
Oh, we would all be in jail. All of us.
We'd be in jail?
There's a reason Craig goes to church.
You're fired. All right, let's play a song here, and then we'll do a Nitro. This is an older one from Lewis. Speaking of frogs, they're outside with vengeance yet again. I'm going to see if you can all hear it. I'll only go for 10 seconds. Here we go.
Big Benny B. Bye.
Almost Killed Vinny.
The hell was that?
I don't know what that was.
That was one of my.
It was a song by Lewis.
That was one of my finer moments when you said, "Let's listen to the Frogs," and then I went into the WB Frog off mic. That's what it was.
And Nitro.
Nitro. This was probably because I loved the show too.
You did?
Well, part of it.
But okay. I did. I thought the show was great.
Yeah. This may have been the best Raw and Nitro that we have watched since we started watching Nitro almost a year ago.
We had one good Raw in 2015, so it makes sense that this was the best Raw-Nitro combination. Hmm. This could have been the worst Nitro of all time. It would have been the best Raw-Nitro combination.
So,
let me say something first.
Please.
Fuck this network and its buffering on the old shows.
You know what? I didn't have a problem this week.
Oh, my God. It's not bad after about 5 minutes. After about the five-minute mark, I didn't have any problems. But for some reason, I never have a problem with anything live. I never have a problem with the pay-per-views. But Nitro has been one nightmare after another every single week.
Do you always watch it on your Apple TV?
Yes.
Try watching it on something else.
I don't want to watch it on my computer. I want to watch it on my Apple TV on the big fucking screen.
I have an Apple TV downstairs. I have a Roku upstairs.
I don't have
the
a Roku.
Never buffers. I don't know why.
I don't know why either, but this is pissing me off. I'm paying good money for this. Quit buffering.
So Hugh Morris wrestled Randy Savage.
Can you believe that before we did this show, and this is, ties into Hugh Morris. Before we did this show, mm-hmm. we were watching the network, and they're playing Tough Enough with fucking Bill DeMott.
Yeah.
That stuff should be buried in the vault forever after all that went down with Bill DeMott. He's in there burying people and acting like a prick. I just can't believe they're putting it on the network, but I guess I got Benoit stuff on the network, so.
That is true.
And I'm not comparing the two guys. I'm just pointing out that if you're going to remove Bill DeMott, then obviously there are worse things that you could remove as well. But yes, this guy was in the ring with Randy Savage. I didn't see anything that made me think that this guy would one day be running WWE developmental in a training capacity.
He's very large.
You don't say.
That's about it.
Yeah. He beat Randy up a little bit, and then tried to mock him by putting on Randy's ring gear, only the jacket was way too small. He could only get one arm in.
You don't say.
Yeah. So this, of course, made Randy furious, and the whole gimmick lately has been Randy Savage is losing his mind, and he...
Lately?
Well...
Started in the 70s.
Especially the past month or so of Nitro. And so he tried to remove Hugh's eye with his sunglasses, and then hung him by the neck with the ring jacket. Ref called for the DQ. This is not stop, Randy.
He called. Let me just recap what Vinny just said. First off, when Hugh Morris puts on all of his outfit, Randy Savage decides he's going to kill the man. First, he goes for his eye socket, like it's a shoot. And then he wraps his jacket around the guy's neck, throws him over the top rope, and is hanging him by the neck until death.
Yes.
And the referee decides he's disqualified from the sporting competition.
That's right. So Randy hit the big elbow, and the ref kept trying to wave him off. And my big complaint here is
the fucker and the bell.
They rang that fucking bell.
Yeah,
this
they did.
Entire segment was 5 minutes of bell ringing.
It was like the building was on fire.
Yeah. So Savage dropped an elbow on the second ref as well. And finally, thousands of geeks and cops came out to stop him and arrested him and take him away.
The funniest thing was the announcers were going on and on about how Savage needs to be institutionalized. He's lost.
I wish that was a ding. I was just going to do that. Oops. Oh, hey. Never mind.
Professional audio show here, everyone.
I was going to keep ringing the bell while you were doing the review there, but I didn't have a bell, so I was doing the fail buzzer.
I see. The announcers are going on and on about how Savage is crazy. He needs to be institutionalized and on and on and on about how nuts he is. And meanwhile, Savage is walking out of the ring, smacking hands and shaking hands and kissing babies and not looking crazy at all.
He didn't look crazy?
Well by his own standards.
I mean, neon fringe jacket, that's nuts.
Slam the referee. Well, there was first another referee comes in and he decks the first guy and then slams him. And I wrote Pee Wee Herman, but it's actually Pee Wee Anderson. He tries to block Savage from delivering another elbow, and Savage is like, move or die! And then he just goes! And Pee Wee Anderson had to run for his life, And they sent out geeks and cops to arrest Savage, and there's great carnage.
Why couldn't Nick Patrick be under this elbow? That's all I wanted to know.
He's too valuable. He's the senior referee, not this jobber referee, whoever he was.
They acknowledged the passing of Ray Stevens.
Bischoff sounded very broken up.
He was very clearly moved by this, and they mentioned that they were asking for donations to Cauliflower Alley.
That's right.
And Heenan, who of course also worked with Stevens a ton, way more than Bischoff, in fact, but he sounded like he didn't want to say much because, damn it, he's a heel, and heels should not garner sympathy.
That's right.
That was the impression I got. Dean Malenko versus Jushin Liger.
Great match.
First of all, what a tan Dean Malenko had. This is amazing.
Oh, they're in Florida.
I guess so. So, very early on, Ric Flair comes out in a tuxedo. He's got Elizabeth and a woman that's dressed to the nines. They have a whole table set up with fine china and polished silver and candles. Just spending all of Randy Savage's money they can spend.
And the key was they didn't show up until after Savage had been arrested.
That's right.
And Flair had a tux on even. He was
yes.
very decked up.
So the good news is today, if they did an angle like this, they would do whatever sideshow was going on and then go straight to the finish. So here they did the sideshow and this guy still had a good 5-6 minutes to do an actual match.
And it was a great match.
It was a great match.
Liger looks exactly the same today that he did 19 years ago. And
he does wear a mask.
He is covered head to toe.
I know, but like his body hasn't changed one bit. If you watch him wrestle, he doesn't wrestle exactly the same, but if he needs to do a singles match today, he's goddamn close enough.
He's slowed down quite a bit because I got to see him twice Mania weekend, and he had two excellent matches. And how old's the guy?
He's 50.
Something. Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and he was doing dives off the post here back in 1996. I do have one critique, however. And normally I would say, far be it from me to critique Jushin Thunder Liger, but I'm not going to say that this time because I was a gymnast and I coached gymnastics. His cartwheel sucks. Flat out sucked.
God damn it, Jushin.
Jesus Christ. I got a guy that used to be 400 pounds in my class that can do a better cartwheel than Jushin Liger. Maybe it got better in the last 19 years, but it sure fucking sucked in this match here.
So the finish especially ruled. It was very subtle, and if you weren't paying attention, you may have missed it, but they're trading big moves and reversals, and they start reversing go-behinds. And Malenko's got a waist lock on Liger, and Liger goes, just the very, very basic back switch, and he starts to spin to his left. But Malenko spins the opposite direction, meets him coming around with a knee to the gut, and immediately hits the double underhook powerbomb for the win. That was awesome.
Very good finish. Very good match. They announced that Shinjiro Tani had won the cruiserweight title, which is funny because he'd already lost it to Malenko. So Malenko was the champion in this match with Liger, but because it had not aired on television, he just came out as not the champion.
Did this happen in Japan?
No, it happened at a Saturday night taping.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
WCW. Gene interviewed Ric Flair and the girls. Mostly Flair. Talked about the private jets and the champagne and the penthouse suites. They're enjoying all thanks to Randy. And he said the Giant got lucky last week and eventually that luck would turn around. Gene asked for some champagne, and Ric Flair said, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Of course, it wasn't his anyway, but it just made me laugh. Usually the heels don't let the announcers join the party.
And well, Flair's got a lot of respect. When he first won that title at the Royal Rumble, the first man he saw was Gene.
I guess that's true. That's true.
Yeah, they've had a long history together, these two men.
So Flair talked about Battle Bull, said Arn was on the opposing team, warned him to make the right decision, and he also noted that Deborah McMichael was in the crowd again. He had his assistant take her a drink, and Deborah took it and then poured it right on the floor. Flair was not concerned. He noted Deborah was from Texas, and eventually she would learn that Flair was a cowboy, or something like that.
You know what I noticed about this? We watched Impact, and my main man Spud lost the cruiserweight title, and he was despondent, and he was destroyed. And all he could think about was how he was going to win it again and what it meant to be the champion. It was a devastating loss in his life, losing this championship. And what did we compare it to? We compared it to John Cena when he comes out and doesn't give a shit whether he lost a title. Flair lost the world heavyweight title to the Giant last week. If you did not know that, would you have known when he came out on this show that he had lost the world heavyweight title last week?
No.
Now, normally, I would have been very upset about this fact. But Ric Flair's character is so fucking cocky. He figures it don't matter. To Ric Flair, unlike even John Cena, to Ric Flair, titles come and go. Just like women. Just like money. I'm fucking Ric Flair. I'll just win it again. Flair is so cocky that it doesn't even bother him a week later that he lost the title. Now, granted, when he gets pissed off and flips his lid and goes crazy all the time. So it's not like he doesn't care. But I thought it was, I don't know what it was. He came out on the show and it didn't even matter to him because goddammit, he's Ric Flair. He's going to be the champion again. It doesn't matter. And he's just the greatest of all time.
He lost a title. He's eating on someone else's dime. And he's got two lovely ladies with him.
And going for a third.
Yeah. What does he need a title for?
What the hell? He'll get it back.
The short answer is, when you are Ric Flair, you can get away with a lot of things.
And also, we'll fast forward to the main event here very quickly, and just to comment on Flair. The Giant is killing everybody after the main event is over. And after he's killed like four men, and he looks like King Kong, and he's completely unstoppable, Ric Flair runs down to the ring with a wooden chair. In Ric Flair's mind, he's going to stop the Giant with this chair. It's just another example of he's such a cocky heel that he honest to God thought his bullshit wooden chair was going to stop this Giant. And he swings the chair breaks over the Giant's head, and that's when he suddenly snaps into reality. And he's like, shit! Holy shit! Please! And he starts begging. And it's like, every fucking time. It's like when he goes up to the top rope. He's such a cocky son of a bitch that he thinks this is the time that he's actually going to do it. And every time he fails. But it never deters Ric Flair. He's going to fucking get it next time. Ric Flair should be the leader of the New Day. Never has a man been more confident well, in this business than Ric Flair. He's the most positive man in the whole world. Man, what a group that would be.
Can you see him clapping and strutting at the same time?
Yes, actually.
Oh, I can. Goodness.
The more I think about this, the more it makes sense.
The new Four Horsemen with the New Day and Ric Flair would be the greatest stable in 2015. Tell me one stable that would be better. Suzuki Goon? Other than that, there ain't one fucking stable that would be better than Ric Flair as the leader of the New Day. Just wanted to throw that out there.
That's a fabulous idea. Okay.
And then Liz had to make a comment about spending Macho's money.
Liz makes a comment about spending Macho's money, and Flair cackles, and Heenan cackles, and I cackled.
And she looks like, God damn, I hate doing this. Every time.
She does not want to be given any dialogue.
No.
She wants to stand there and look pretty.
She's doing a fine job.
Which, yeah, granted, she's great at it. Lord Steven Regal versus Sting.
This was
best match.
God, I love this match.
It was. Listen, whenever people talk about Vince McMahon being out of touch, I always give Vince the benefit of the doubt because he's the greatest promoter there's ever been. But Jesus Christ, how the fuck can you not recognize the greatness of William Regal? He never thought that William Regal was a good worker. Think about that. William Regal in this match was the best wrestler I've ever seen. He was unbelievable working with Sting. And this was 96. Think about years later how much he'd improved in WWE. And to Vince, he was just a guy who couldn't work. What the fuck?
So you are correct about the greatness of Regal. But let's talk about the cult of Sting.
Oh, yeah.
Every person in this building. And think about this. Remember I mentioned the Sami Zayn match? Everyone in Montreal wanted Sami to win, but didn't think he had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in whatever Florida town this was, they all wanted Sting to win. And they had to have known he was going to win, but they were still hanging on everything he did. And I mean everyone. Children, old people, adults, male, female, black, white, didn't matter. Everyone loved Sting.
And you know what was amazing? Go back and watch this Nitro. It's whatever Nitro. If you ever want to know what show, is it 34?
It's May 6th, 1996.
Number 34.
Just go back exactly 19 years, and whichever one is closest to the Tuesday date, that's the one. So anyway, go back and watch this one, 34 or whatever. There is a spot where William Regal does the deal where he, like, adjusts his wrist, and then he does a little curtsy, and he puts his hand behind his back.
Just a little head bob.
A little head bob. And Sting mocks him. This act of mockery caused the entire building to lose their shit. It wasn't like he just started his comeback, or he hit a big move,
no,
or he hit his finish. He mocked the man's little strut, and as you noted, everyone in the building not only went crazy, but they were shaking. They were pumping their fists and screaming at the top of their lungs in joy over what Sting had just done. I couldn't even believe my eyes. I was like, how's this man not in the Hall of Fame? I mean, over this right here. The love that these people had for him when he merely mocked William Regal was Hall of Fame worthy.
So, as you said, Regal is the best villain ever. Cheating whenever the opportunity arose. He did the eye poke disguised as an open hand strike.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. So Sting misses the Stinger splash. Regal, I swear to God, did an evil chuckle. And he goes to hook him for a double underhook. And I don't know if they planned it this way, but that was the finish of the prior match, which made this even better. Because he grabs on a double underhook, but Sting backdrops him up, holds him a bit, and then falls on top of him with his arms hooked and pins him.
Yeah.
Finish I have not seen before, and I will never see again.
It was great. I loved it. It was like something completely you were not expecting it, and it was the finish.
And it was awesome.
Last week, we saw Regal and the Belfast Bruiser go out there and absolutely brutalize each other.
Yes.
Throwing each other into cars. This week, Regal comes out, and he's got a butterfly bandage over one eye. He's taped up everywhere, and he wrestles a completely
yes.
different style of match, not just because it was hardcore, but you know Regal, he can be a real mat technician. He can be
he proved he could do anything.
This time he does total gaga. I mean, Sting gives him an arm wringer. He's up on his tiptoes and he's grinding his teeth and selling and just he's so fabulous.
It could have been because he was physically destroyed. I suppose that's possible.
I guess.
But yes, William Regal can do anything. There's nothing this man can't do.
So, he's so, so entertaining to watch.
This match was so great, I went back and watched the entire thing a second time. Just amazingly great. So they go to commercial, and the show long storyline has been Luger was scheduled for the main event but hadn't shown up to the building yet. So they go to commercial, and they come back, they introduce Luger, they play Sting's music, Hacksaw Duggan comes out, then they played Luger's music, and then they played Duggan's.
Yes.
WCW, everyone.
That's
well, that was part of the storyline. Luger was supposed to be there in storyline, but he wasn't, and so...
Yeah, Sting wasn't.
The supposed live TV, they didn't know what to do. Well, Sting's Luger's friend.
I see.
Maybe they thought we play his music, he'll bring this fucker to the ring. All I know is when Duggan came out for a match with The Giant,
mm-hmm.
My first thought was, would this have been better or worse than Luger?
That's a fair point.
At this point.
But it was only moments before I realized Luger would have been much better.
Yes.
Duggan sucked. Not to mention this goddamn fist taping gimmick. It's always funny because like WCW and WWE and TNA, they all do this. Someone comes up with a gimmick And it clearly sucks. But they don't give up.
Right.
Duggan is still out there every week. It's not illegal to tape your fists. But this fucker leaves the tape in his trunks until he's about to be killed. Mm-hmm. And then he desperately tries to tape his fists. And time after time, it fails. And Duggan is no Ric Flair where he can get away with it.
Wait a minute. Let me write that down.
He comes across like such a dumb baby face. Why don't you tape your fucking fists in the back and then you don't have to worry about it when the giant is killing you?
And by the way, Duggan's punches rival John Cena's.
Yes.
Yeah. So bad.
Yeah, Duggan was not very good. So after 3 minutes of clunky brawling, Giant hit a chokeslam and won. He hit another...
What a chokeslam, by the way.
He pretty much grabbed Duggan by the neck.
Yes.
It was a shoot.
It was a shoot
chokeslam.
It's not
like where you grab the guy by the neck and your other hand goes in his armpit so that you can kind of lift him by the lat. Yeah. No. He put two hands around the guy's neck, and he knew Duggan wasn't going to go up. So yes. He was like, you're going up, homeboy. And he lifted him as hard as he could, and fuck, he slammed him down on the ground. And then he did it a second time.
Yes. Got him about 3.5-4 feet up. It was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, actually. Giant, if you're new to the scene, Giant is terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. So he chokeslammed him again after the match, and out came to make the save Cobra. And I don't mean the G.I. Joe bad guys who probably would have had better success.
This was a classic example of WCW at the time because we have watched every last single Nitro since September. Mm. We have not skipped a week. Have we seen the Cobra one time?
No.
Seen the Cuban Assassin?
Definitely,
one time.
Definitely assassin. Not.
They were the first two men that ran in. And all I could think was, who in the fuck are these two people?
I thought it was Miguel Perez, to be honest with you.
I thought he was the Cuban Assassin.
Second one. Was that right?
I think so. Maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, don't tell me. I don't care. But
now I got to look at it.
Wow.
All right. So Alex Wright also came out. He had no better luck. And then Flair came out with the wooden chair. They did that spot. And Giant no-sold the chair and grabbed Flair by the neck. And Sting, who, of course, has the title shot of the pay-per-view coming up, he ran out and was the first guy to get any kind of offense against Giant. And he was running wild with punches and chop blocks, and he finally knocked him down with a top rope Polish hammer.
It's Fidel Sierra.
Which looked as absurd as it sounds. And he got the scorpion on the Giant after a very long struggle, and Jimmy Hart broke that up. And Sting went after Hart, and Giant went after Sting. But then who should come running out at exactly the right time but Lex Luger?
I loved it because
luggage in tow.
Luger is in his quote street clothes,
I guess,
which consists of Zubaz pants
and a shirt
with vertical stripes and a tank top also with vertical stripes.
Yes. This was a Zubaz suit.
He was dressed like a jail, and he runs down to the ring, and all I could think is, this would never fly nowadays in WWE. You know what I mean?
This violates the dress code.
This fucker's going through airports looking like this.
Zubaz tucked into big, clunky army boots.
Oh, yeah.
By the way.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got his Halliburton because, of course, he just got off the plane.
Left his suitcase laying in the aisle.
They tossed his duffel bag aside, but he's got his big, heavy Halliburton. And he hits the ring and he, you know, threatens the Giant with his briefcase, and the Giant backs away. Sting isn't buying this. And Oakland tried to interview Lex. Sting demanded where Lex had been. Lex was appalled that Sting was questioning his integrity. Sting said, you've now missed two opportunities in a row. Because apparently Lex missed Saturday night too. And Lex starts going off about how everyone misses flights once in a while and they ran out of time. A fun, fun wrestling show.
This was a great Nitro.
Except for the main event.
And this is the second week in a row, by the way, that because of the NBA, they moved this show 2 hours earlier because of the NBA. Mm-hmm. And this is the second week in a row, exactly 44 minutes. There was no overrun.
Right.
But get ready because within the next couple of weeks,
they're moving to two hours.
Let's start watching the old Raws now.
But it's only a little bit longer because it's not a real 2 hours. But this was a great show. This was a great show. And I wonder if it's going to be just as great when they do an extra hour.
No.
Because there's something about these hour shows that are magical nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll be better at 2 hours. Maybe you would have got William Regal versus Sting for 18 minutes.
Let me put it that way.
Yeah. So that was Nitro, everybody. And before we go very quickly, since we're running long, Edward here. this summer, we're doing our annual convention. It's in Las Vegas. It is the week after July 4th weekend.
Can you read it how he wrote it, by the way?
I'm going to try. It's very difficult.
Okay.
The convention is not going to be July 4th weekend this year because UFC is not running on the 4th of July, so it'll be the week after, the week of July 11th. And if you would like to go, we're going to have more information coming up. But we are going to have a banquet on Friday night, July 10th, at a location to be announced. It'll take place at 7:30 on Friday night, 6 to 9 p.m. It is a buffet dinner, mixed greens with ranch and balsamic vinaigrette dressings, red skin potato salad, corn on the cob baked beans, which apparently is one thing because there was no comma, macaroni and cheese, cornbread, entrees, barbecue baby back ribs, barbecue chicken breast, and sliced flank steak with a red wine mushroom sauce. Assorted dessert display, also served with freshly brewed regular and decaffeinated coffee, hot water with assorted herbal teas, and freshly brewed Ibis Moon iced tea. If you want to be involved, everybody, in our banquet, it will be $59 per person, which includes tax tip and the cost of the room rental. We need a minimum 32 people to commit and pay by May 21st, so you have a little over 2 weeks. We already have 17 people confirmed, including Dave and I, and Ed, and Peach Machine, and a number of others as well. Crippler, Doc G, there's some more here on this list. Dez is going to be here. Sir Hyali is going to be there. If you want to be involved, we have spots open. Minimum 32 people by May 21st. You need to contact Ed at f4wfan@hotmail.com. The most guilty address I've ever heard. How can you get mad at Ed when his email address is f4wfan@hotmail.com? But in addition to this here, we're going to do a Q&A with Dave. We're going to have mics, and we're going to have a whole system set up. So that is a special added bonus. No extra fee for that, although you're welcome to tip Dave by sending your donations to brian@wrestlingobserver.com. But once again, contact Ed if you want to be involved in this banquet, f4wfan@hotmail.com. We need 32 people. We've already got 17. Only a few spots left, so I would contact him immediately, f4wfan@hotmail.com. Anything else before we go?
I'm good.
I'm good as well.
All right, Craig, next week, I want you to think of a contest. We have a few weeks left, I want you to think of something. Think of something good.
Yeah, yeah, I'll do that.
And this time, the prize, everybody. Mm-hmm. Oh, goddamn, that reminds me.
Oh, jeez.
Check your email real quick while I do this last thing. Vinny, the prize for this next contest is you are going to do a voicemail
there
message for somebody.
All right.
All right?
Fine with that.
And then maybe later in the main event, I'll do it. But let's not get crazy now. My fee is exorbitantly high. Craig, I have emailed you what the winner would like you to say into their voicemail. And I would like you to read it here on the air once you find it. Are you ready?
I powered off my iPad, so.
All right. Well, I'll play a song while you get it up, and we'll do that, and then we'll wrap it up. Here we go. Hey, song. How about we play?
It's going to be an awesome drop someday.
The big guy.
Big neck, big checks, big neck, big checks. Big guy, big traps.
Big guy, big traps.
Big guy, big traps.
Big guy, big traps.
Big neck, big checks.
The big neck, guy.
Big checks.
What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? I'm just kicking and jumping.
Hey.
Leaving the competition.
Hey.
Making them disappear like your favorite magician.
Hey.
What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up?
Hey, hey, hey.
What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up?
Hey, hey, hey.
If Punk had balls, Ryback would have hit him with them a long time ago. And Punk was not sure what to make of that line.
Hit him with his balls?
Yes.
The big guy.
How ironic. I also hate spiders. Did you find it, Craig? Craig obviously found it because he's smirking right now at this.
Yes, I did.
All right. I'm going to turn down my mic and Vinny's mic, and the floor will be yours to...
Why are we doing this on the air?
I'm going to just cut it out. I want everyone to hear what he wanted so they can see the value that they're going to get when Vinny reads an email or a voicemail message.
Should I do it in this voice or should I take it down an octave?
It's up to you, dude. I don't know if you can go down an octave, but you can try.
I could go really low if you'd
like. All right. I'm going to shut off our mics and the floor is yours, Craig.
Hi, Sugar Bush. Steve is not here right now, but if you'd like to leave him a message, he'll probably get back to you at some point in the foreseeable future. But if not, take care, babes.
It's like a cold read at a...
Can we do it again?
No, it was great. It's like you were trying out for Oliver.
Oliver?
I couldn't think of another play. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. The next contest will be coming up at the end of the month. Vinny is going to get an opportunity to read your voicemail outgoing message.
And remember, I am Mumble.
He is a mumbler, so can you imagine if Ed won and you had to mumble your way through whatever the hell he wrote? That'd be hilarious. Oh, man, I hope he wins. All right, everybody, that's it. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Good night.
Bye.